Hello, everyone. My name's Karen. I'm a compulsive overeater zooming in from New Orleans, Louisiana. So grateful to be here. Thank you so much for asking me. I really appreciate telling my story. And we have a newcomer here, so I'm going to really concentrate on what it was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. So part of my story is physical recovery. So I'm going to share my screen, a before and after picture. Here it comes. So I'm maintaining a 70 pound weight loss for 20 years, and I'm very grateful for that. This picture was in 1996, and it was about at my highest weight. And then this picture of me thinner was taken during the pandemic. So I probably need to update that, but I look about the same. So that is just sometimes a picture tells a thousand words. And I know that especially newcomers like pictures, and this is a 100-pounder meeting. So hopefully that will give some hope that it's possible. I came into my first meeting when I was 21 years old, and it was in 1988. So I did not know that there was a disease called compulsive overeating. I thought because I was not bulimic or anorexic that I did not have an eating problem. I just needed to lose weight. But I didn't know that there was a disease. I just thought I was weak-willed. I really did. And my willpower was great in other areas of my life. But when it came to food, it wasn't there. And so I would try and beat myself up and guilt myself into trying to stay on my diet. Karen, what's wrong with you? Are able to get good grades, why can't you get a good grade in dieting? Do you know what I mean? Like, why can't you be compliant in dieting? There's something wrong with you. And I wake up many mornings with the best intentions to eat sensibly that day. And I would have a sensible breakfast. And then I would tell myself, you're not eating anything until lunchtime. And then I would want more food. And I would eat it. And then I'd start beating myself up again. So I had a lot of shame about the way I ate. And so when I came into that first meeting in 1988, and someone else talked about food calling to them from the cupboards and not being able to stop eating, I had never heard other people talk about this. And I was so relieved. I believe I have a disease called compulsive eating, or I now know that there's something called binge eating disorder. But anyway, we've come a long way in more than 30 years. But I am not normal when it comes to food. And that's why I need to keep coming to Overeaters Anonymous. When it comes to food, my willpower doesn't work. Step one is that we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. I am powerless over food. I have power. Sometimes I say I am willpowerless over food, right? I cannot control my eating. Even though I desperately wanted to, desperately. When it comes to food, I am weak-willed. So I learned that I have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. Everyone in OA works with a sponsor or a nutritionist to figure out what if there's any foods or food behaviors that cause us cravings? So I am when I eat sugar, I get a craving and I can't stop. Before coming into OA, I was in high school and I wanted to look good because we were going on a trip to the beach my senior year. And so I successfully went on a diet for about 30 days. And inadvertent to me, I didn't eat any sugar because I was being good. This was many years before coming into OA, and I could still do that for 30 days. And I remember losing some weight, and I decided to reward myself with one dessert, which had sugar in it. And the next day, I wanted more. And I said, no, Karen, that was your one reward, right? This is to shame me again. This was your one reward for losing weight, but you can't have any today. You haven't even gone to the beach thing yet. And I just wanted it. I wanted it so badly. And that's a craving to me. So this is even before I had come into OA. I didn't know anything about cravings, but I experienced it. So that was looking back on it through this lens that I found in OA, I'm like, oh yeah, I really am a sugar addict. Look at that. So not everyone in Overeaters Anonymous is a sugar addict. Many of us can find foods or food behaviors that cause us cravings. Some people it's volume. But I had to help with my sponsor. I had to work on a food plan that eliminated all of my compulsive foods and compulsive behaviors. And that is what my abstinence is today. That's another word we have in OA is abstinent. I'm abstaining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. So that's what abstinence is. It was already read, Donna read it, but I just want to reinforce that. So I had to learn how to be abstinent. But how can I be abstinent? I am powerless over food, right? And that's where the rest of the 12 steps come in. And I believe everyone in this meeting is familiar with the 12 steps, but I had to find a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. That's step two. I was insane when it came to food, and I needed to be restored to sanity. I'll give you one more insanity story for me. I had eaten so much food that day, that my pants were so tight. And I couldn't eat any more because these pants were so tight, but I wanted more. So you know what I did? I went and changed my pants. That's how I fixed that problem. And I kept eating. I just wanted the food, the f taste in my mouth, that comes from food. I believe to this day there is a sense of ease and comfort that comes from food. The problem is I have an allergy of the body and now I've set off my addiction. So I have to forgo the sense of ease and comfort that comes from eating my food. I need to abstain from that particular type of ease and comfort. So, what's my ease and comfort now? The steps, my higher power, working with others, friends. I have to come up with some other things that give me ease and comfort when I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. Doing a 10th step. Just jumped ahead a lot, but doing a 10th step. So what gives me ease and comfort now? Now I've been abstinent for 12 years. I haven't had any sugar in 12 years, and it's easy. That's what this program gives me, is I don't want food that I'm allergic to. I don't care if other people have it. I was out with friends last night and we went to a nice dinner. We had a very nice dinner and they all wanted dessert. And so it was me on my phone that found the dessert place. And we went there and they had it and I didn't. And it was easy for me. It's like, okay, that's what they want. I'll be a good hostess. These were out of town guests. And there was no self-pity. You know, when I was on a diet before OA, there was such self-pity. I can't have this stuff. I had absolutely no self-pity. I actually forgot about it until right now. And that's a miracle to me, right? That is what OA gives me, is that not only can I stay away from foods that I'm allergic to, but I don't care and I can be a nice hostess about it. You know, that is so different for me. I really love the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I first came into OA, it was the one of the only books we had. OA didn't have a lot of its own literature. We had one meditation book and one book of stories. So I really have grown up on the Big Book. Now we have a lot of different literature, and it might not be for you, but I want to explain a little bit about step three. Step three is we turned our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Okay, so everyone gets their own higher power, right? And it doesn't have to be the word God. It can be higher power. It can be, I love nature. I love the highest part of myself, the part of myself that is love. A force that loves me and wants the best for me, a force out there that wants me thin and sane. That's sin together. Sorry, I was trying to say thin and sane at the same time. There's a force out there that wants me to be happy, joyous, and free. So that is, part of my higher power definition. So I'm going to use the term HP, hopefully, tonight when I talk about God. Because the big book says the word God, so I'm going to try and translate. So there's this part in the big book, it's on page 60 to 63. I'm just going to go over the highlights that I see tonight. I was someone who was living by self-propulsion. Going to the beach, need to be thin. I'm going to willpower my way to be thin by that beach trip, right? Self-propulsion. And the problem with self-propulsion is everyone's doing it and we collide with each other. When I'm trying to arrange everything to suit me, my example with going to the beach was more about me, but you know, if my children would only do things my way, life would be good. If my husband would do things my way, life would be good. That's the self-propulsion. So I'm sitting here like an actor in a big play trying to arrange everything the way I want it. The scenery, the ballet, it should all go Karen's way. But the problem is, I'm not the director. I'm just one of the actresses. And all the other actors are trying to take the role of director too. And the play is pandemonium. And so what I try to do is get my own way even more and more and more and cause more pandemonium. And there's this beautiful line. Well, so then I get angry, indignant, and blaming. That's not the beautiful line. The beautiful line is, am I not a victim of the delusion that I can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if I only manage well? So there's a lie that I tell myself that in order to be happy and satisfied, which I really would like, I have to wrestle that out from the world and manage well. Okay. So if my life, if I'm not happy and satisfied, then my brain says I have to manage better. Right. And that brings up all of this self-pity, anger, blaming. And what I found out is, if I want to be satisfied and happy, I still want that. But managing well does not get me that. Step one is we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. I can't manage my own life or anyone else's. That's this higher power's job. The higher power is the director and not me. And when I take that position, then I don't have to be running the whole show, and I can just be me. So I believe that steps four through nine are about seeing where I'm trying to run the show, seeing where I want things to go my way, and that causes me spiritual unrest, and then I want to eat. Once the spiritual problem is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically, it says. So, this wanting things to go my way, even to this day, trips me up. And, the fourth step in the big book talks about a lot about our resentments and our fears, and that we need to inventory them. And so resentments are the past didn't go my way. Hey, you know, if only this had happened, I would be satisfied and happy. And fear is the future's not going to go my way. And these things cause me to want to eat, resentments and fears. So if I can just give up my way, then I wouldn't have as many resentments and as many fears. And if I could just say, okay, let's have higher powers way, whatever that is, the way of love, be in charge instead of me, then I can be happy, joyous, and free. And, you know, have not overeaten in 12 years, and all that. So just in my last a minute and 30 seconds that I have left, my story is one of relapse. I told you about just before coming into OA, and then I tell you about this 12 years. There's a large gap between 1988 and 2011. So mine is a story of relapse. My highest weight, that picture with the bird and the boy, I had been in OA for 8 years. This is not simple. This is a tough disease. It wants me dead, but the disease will settle for fat and miserable. The disease really wants me dead, I believe. This is my opinion. And it took me a long time to really get this program. But I hope it doesn't take you as long as it took me. And so if I can help in any way with my experience, strength, and hope of relapse, I want to do that and help you because it's a terrible disease, but to be free of it is amazing. I didn't even think about what I did last night until I was trying to think of showing you how I was happy, joyous for you. Oh, right. I found it on my phone and we walked to it, the dessert place. You know, I didn't even think of that. That's a miracle. So thank you so much. I'm going to put my name and number in the chat, and my time is up.